Hello everyone and welcome back to Monique's Pet Whisper. It is 12:32 a.m. and I won't do a very long episode. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about, to be honest. But I just wanted to talk about, number one, we have this war that's going on overseas. And there are some important facts that America has to come to grips with. You know, the reality is a lot of countries overseas do not trust America, the American so-called democracy, okay? And America has been, unfortunately, kind of branded and based off of historical actions as bullies, you know, as a country that doesn't necessarily practice what they preach, a country that doesn't take care of their own backyard, but they want to go into other people's backyards. And unfortunately, we haven't cleaned up our own backyard. So the issue with some of the sanctions that are being placed on Russia, that has to do with, obviously, you know, America being a stronghold of power. They have investments tied up in these banks, the banking systems, and other resources. And that would unfortunately affect our economy, which it already is. You know, the gas is high, you know, different materials and things that we were getting from Russia, we're not no longer getting these items. Inflation is at an all time. And, you know, there's other countries that are not actually on our side here. And I'm not here speaking about, you know, our side versus their side, because, you know, the powers that be need to clean up their own backyard. And I want to be sensitive to the fact that, yes, we have a war going on in Russia and in the Ukraine. And so some of the details of this war has to do with, you know, ethnicism. You know, there's some historical conflicts, or what I would really coin as intertribal issues, where, you know, if there are allegations that the Ukrainians have, you know, they think they're this or that, and they're the reason for the decay around, you know, around the area, the financial decay. They're the reason for some of the issues that are happening. And it doesn't even matter at this point. The point is that was very similar to even, you know, I would say Hitler to a certain degree, where there was this blame that was going on with the government system. And Hitler rose to power because he was challenging the system, and he was very influential, you know. And so whenever we're dealing with other and, you know, cultural wars and things like that, it's pretty devastating. I think that there's going to be a reckoning. I just want to say this for humanity, especially for the people that have power to make a change. Your day's coming where you, if you didn't do self-development and you contributed to the decay of this world, you're going to have to you're going to face that, and you're going to face it sooner than later. You know, and that's why it's important to treat people. You need to treat people well. If you're a leader, you need to show up. And you don't need to show out, but you do need to show up. So I wanted to be sensitive and at least acknowledge the carnage and what is currently happening. Okay, it is terrible. The thousands upon thousands of people that have been murdered and that have also been displaced. Okay, so this is a tragedy. This is a tragedy, and it is a mounting global tragedy, and one of which as a country that we need to really be, we need to be watching. We need to be watching to see what is America's next move. You know, is there a move? You know, right now, I feel that we need to stay put. We need to get our nose and mind our business. But the problem is our tentacles are wrapped up into everything. America and the European system is and the Asian, Chinese, are really wrapped up into everything. Every little detail. And I think it's sickening. It's sickening how the world is actually ran. I am not a fan of how this world is ran. It's ran irresponsibly. You know, it's ran foolishly, and it's ran in many ways like an inexperienced child would try to run a store. Okay? That's the way our economy is ran. Customer service. So let me break some codes to you guys. Did you know that if you have an emergency deal that and you need help from the FBI, do you think you're really going to talk to the FBI when you call them? You know, we've been wrapped up into Crime Stoppers and these shows from the 1980s. Okay, that was, yeah, back in the 80s when there was funding where the federal agencies were beefed up, you know, new positions opened and, you know, new, even new technology during that time, you know, walkie-talkies and things like that, radio transmitters. Well, that's been around a while, but more advanced ways of logistics. That happened during the 1980s. So what happened? So we got 1980s. But when you're looking at present time and where we're at, we've got some cleaning up to do. So we have, on the one hand, we have that issue. Now, kind of moving away from, the war is affecting us. But more importantly, what the heck is going on in America right now? I'm going to prophesy, and we need to pray. If you don't believe in God, you better be thinking some positive thoughts. There are many people that own weapons that should not. Mental health is a real crisis in the United States. And if you live in Colorado, you're even in more trouble because mental health ranks last as far as a priority in Colorado. The reason this is significant because Colorado is a state that is growing exponentially, like growing like crazy. Okay, it doesn't even make sense how many people have just moved to Colorado. But what's happening in our state, and if you live in another state or country and you're listening to this, is that when you grow quickly, you don't have the infrastructure to balance out the population. Infrastructure meaning you didn't do that 25-year plan for the city. You didn't do that 25-year, 50-year plan. And so you didn't plan for the worst case scenario is tons of people flood in and you run out of resources. That's a worst case scenario that can be a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing. Okay, so while we're sitting here worrying about Russia, which we should, I mean, in terms of humanitarian aid and things that require diplomacy and support, we really truly need to work on our own infrastructure. Here's why. Number one. Ring, ring. Hello. Yes, I'm calling. I'm experiencing a crisis and I really need help. Are you the FBI? Yeah, we're the FBI. What do you need? You're the FBI? Seriously? Yeah, so how can I help you? These calls are being recorded, just so you know, for quality assurance purposes. Oh my goodness, this is really the FBI? well, why do I hear other people talking in the background? Man, because it's a call center. We've got a bunch of people taking in FBI intake calls. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. So if I tell you what's, ma'am, are you going to tell me what's going on because I need to take the next call? Well, I was with a really dangerous person and they have explosives and they're threatening to go to a school and do something crazy. Are you sure they really said that, ma'am? Well, yeah, of course. Well, who is this? Who are these people you're talking about? I don't know their name. I think one's name is Jeffrey Cena, and the other one is, I don't know. Okay, so since you don't know the other person's name, you know, we really can't do an investigation. But you're not going to listen to me, ma'am. I need to take the next call. Call us back when you have real proof. Click. Oh, man, these people. Ring, ring. Hello? Hello, is anybody there? Yeah, this is Ted Thompson, and, you know, I've been wheelchair-bound for the last 12 years, and there's this dopey guy that's been harassing my family for the last 5 years, and found out he's been in trouble for espionage. Sir, these calls are being recorded for quality assurance purposes. Now, what did you say your name is?
Ted Thompson.
Well, listen, you know, what are you talking about? Can you just... Well, sir, I really need help. This guy's been tormenting my family, and he's got explosives. How do you really know he's got explosives? I mean, people just will say anything. I mean, but I'm telling you, I'm telling you, he's got them. Sir, is your eyesight 20/20, or what would you say it is? Do you wear glasses by chance? Yeah, but that has nothing to do with what I'm telling you. Well, I think you need to go take another look. I mean, you know, people don't even sell explosives like that anymore. That was something that they did back in, you know, after 9/11. But you just can't call in our FBI call center and find out that type of information. Well, but what are we going to do if the bomb goes off? Well, guess we'll just cross that bridge when it comes. Click. Okay. So those are different. Those are a couple of examples of what happens when you call the FBI and you have something urgent. I'll give you another example. Ring, ring. Please help me. Please help me. Ma'am, how can I help you? Yes, my name is Maria, and I'm needing some type of assistance. There's this crazy guy that's been stalking me for the last 5 years, and I've been afraid, and I've been trying to tell people. His parents even turned him in and said he was trying to blow up a building and do some stuff overseas with some other people. And well, how do you know that that's what that, how do you, ma'am? I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just telling you the truth. That's what he said. He said that he's something's going to happen. Well, I need some better concrete evidence than that. I mean, well, what's the gentleman in question's name? Well, I don't have any of that. Well, call us back when you get some real proof. But something bad's going to happen. I just know it, ma'am. I don't have time. I need to take the next call. Click. So, yes, those types of things happen quite frequently. So, what I'm sharing with you all is that the decay of our infrastructure is real. And this is the time that we should be rebuilding America. Rebuilding America should not be some cliche, build back America, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. No. It's not that, okay? Because that's just a cliche statement. Building back America is going to take 500 years. It took 500 years of unpaid labor, you know, to build America. And it's going to take another 500 years probably 750 years to undo the damage. All right, so that means we're only in year 150. Okay, it's gonna still take another 500 years before we see the real change. Does that scare you? Does that sound very pessimistic to you? Yeah, because it's true. And it's a sad truth. It's a truth that we have to accept. The things that I want to see in my lifetime aren't going to happen. I'm already, you know, a certain age. And ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed from the decades of my ancestors. And there is nothing changed today in terms of the disrespect and the disparities within minority groups, and particularly Black people. Okay. Other example of a decay of infrastructure is when you have a lot of jobs, but no one wants to work. Okay. This is a new change that the pandemic opened up. People are saying, I'm not going to work for peanuts. I'm not going to waste my time away from my family. I'm not going to abuse myself. I'm not going to do this. So people aren't working jobs that are not going to be fulfilling. So what happens if you don't get people to work? You have what? Your wait time is approximately 65 minutes. Not like you're on hold. Yeah, that's why. Because the labor, there is a labor shortage. Okay. When there's a labor shortage, that affects so many little things. Little things from the packer to who is, you know, delivering certain medicines, who has capacity to do certain things. You know, if capacity is low. If people aren't wanting to work, the other downfall of that is that they're missing out on acquiring new skills. Okay, it's important for people to acquire skills. But if you're not working, you may be acquiring skills on your own time, like some entrepreneurs or students do, and they are, you know, they're smart and that's what they're doing. That's one aspect. But the reality is a lot of people don't follow that path. So we have a freaking shortage for baby formula. That sounds stupid. Okay. I'm trying to figure this out. So there, we have a lot of things at play right now. So the problem is when you're looking at it from a macro level, and I'm an economist as well, but when you start looking at this stuff from a bigger level, a bigger lens, and you're looking at who are our trade partners, who are the people that we're getting, you know, the resources from? We're also in a war, okay? And so however things are manufactured and sourced, and if there's, you know, scarcity due to low production, due to, you know, the earth may have, is running out of this particular thing that we have no business taking from earth like that, the way it in numbers, the way we are, then it creates a disparity, creates a shortage. Now, when it comes to that, though, breast milk. So to me, if you guys don't see this, I do. Mother Nature saying, you have the damn milk yourself. Why are you just using like formula? Like I've used formula. My son was breastfed, but I ended up using formula later on. But the fact is that more women should breastfeed. It's healthier. It gives a better bond between you and the baby. And they'll be a healthier child. So it's a good thing, you know. So when you're looking at lazy people. And the other thing I want to really talk about is another area where you have to question what is going on with America's infrastructure. And this is not something to scare you. It's something to educate you. because you can make a difference by doing something about this. So, construction. Okay, there are some major holes within the whole construction industry. Okay, because you have a subcontractor and then you have a prime. The subcontractor may not have as many skills or may not have the revenue to have a certain bond, you know, a bond threshold. Perhaps their credit rating isn't great. Perhaps their personal net worth is not, you know, $500,000 or more. And so that creates a disparity. So what happens is if the subcontractor is lacking resources, or let's say the prime has all the resources and maybe they're not working with the subcontractor, or maybe they are, giving you a couple of scenarios, but they're just kind of taking their time with the project. And meanwhile, you see a bunch of cones laid out all over the street, and you see those little stupid arrows that said one lane, but yet you saw no construction workers, or you only saw like four construction workers. So where are you? Why aren't you doing anything? And I'm telling you, I'm talking about the folks that literally don't do anything. They're just sitting there looking stupid, talking. Meanwhile, traffic is backed up. So let me tell you how this creates a real fiscal problem. If in traffic, if 70% of those people are on the clock, rather it's salary or hourly, and they're actually working those hours, but yet they're stuck in traffic. So that means perhaps that delivery that should have been delivered, that would have paid the delivery company money for that order, is not going to happen on time or not at all, because now it's late, like the whole situation's late. It could be a missed healthcare appointment that was critical because you were stuck in traffic. Now even the hospital didn't get paid. That nurse didn't get paid, and the patient got a $25 late fee, a $25 fee for not being able to make that appointment. Okay. When daycare, for example, when a parent is trying to rush across town to get their kid to the school or wherever it is, and then to go to work, now they're even later, which means trouble in the office. Okay. So now you have trouble in the office. You have all this stuff going on. This is unacceptable. Okay. So you have all of that just from traffic. Meanwhile, you have your car. Your car is literally getting the crap beat out of it because the roads are so poorly done. Because the construction worker, the prime, now a prime simply means the main primary person over the project, primary company. If the primary company is using cheap material, Dan, I need you to go ahead and, this is just between the two of us, Dan, but go ahead and get that, that cheap rubber. No, not that other expensive stuff, but I need you to get that cheap stuff. They're not going to know the difference. Well, what are you talking about? I mean, it'll at least last through the year, and then what we'll do is just apply for another project, and we'll just keep getting the money to do it. Because if we keep, listen to me, Dan, I know you're a God-fearing man. I know you've been in this industry, or your pappy's been doing this since 1932, and you know you've been here a while. But let me tell you, if we put in the good stuff, then they're not going to need us. They won't need us for 6-7 years. Then we won't get any more jobs. So without that, if we're putting in the cheap stuff, at least we know those roads are going to crack. Well, yeah, I know it messes up people's cars, but that's part of life. They shouldn't have bought it. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Well, I mean, they can catch the bus if it's that big of a deal, in my opinion. Well, no, Dan, but I know that I use the cheap stuff because it's going to guarantee my business. And I've got all these cars and all this stuff, these junkyard cars. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So, yeah. You just make sure that you don't tell a soul. Go ahead. Order that stuff. Yeah, from overseas. Lay it down. No, I know those flaggers aren't really trained. I mean, who's in who's in charge of the training? I mean, gee willikers. Well, he hasn't been to work and thought he was out on leave or something. Well, you've got him training. Well, he hasn't even been here. Oh, well, wait a minute. What happened? You mean to tell me that fool started an accident? Oh, my goodness. Oh, so you guys just left this out, this information from me? Okay, so basically what you're telling me is that he forgot to put some stuff away and it caused a fire? And a small little fire. Okay, but that's still not a good thing. Well, all right. And some of the equipment got burned. Well, hopefully it wasn't anything major. What the jaka jaka chika jaka? So we have all this stuff, and so who trained these flaggers? So they've never been trained, and then who's trained? How long has that foreman really been in business? For 14 years, but why the hell is he acting like he doesn't know how to run that skip? Yeah, well, I don't know, but we're losing money by the pound every day. If these people don't know how to work or they've got a language situation, then we need to fix that because we're losing millions of dollars on this stuff. Well, yeah, but still go get the cheap stuff. So then you have people not trained, being flaggers, or not really having advanced skills like they need to have. And this is affecting, you know, actually the operation cycle of the state, any state you live in. So if the construction is causing traffic all the time, how is that productive? Somebody please tell me that. But if you were to invest in a pliable material that will last for the ages, you would actually save money from the state or the city because you will not need to keep purchasing things like that. Okay, so you start going into debt when you're constantly having to hire out construction workers. Well, you still have to, the city still has its bottom line, so does the state. So if your deficits are pretty high when it comes to spending on projects like construction, where, let's just break it down, you think people are fiscally responsible or are they greedy or both? The problem is when you give somebody, you know, a $5 million contract, what do you think that person's going to do with it? Do you think they're really going, now, not all people, but some people, when they get that kind of money, they find every way to hold on to most of it rather than reinvesting in their business and reinvesting in their employees. They hold on to it and then they only give out a pinch. But meanwhile, when you're holding on to the money, you're not even learning anything new. You're not increasing your skills. Okay, so these are the things that we have to be cautious of. So, I don't know. So construction is another area that is causing issues. And and then mental illness. So I'm going to wrap up pretty soon. I'm really tired. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. But mental illness is just a terrible situation in Colorado. And you know that exists based on the way people drive. People really are doing some really funky stuff driving. I'm talking about making a sudden turns and not thinking or looking to see the cars behind them and turning into Starbucks parking lots. Okay. And people nearly smashing into the back of cars. I've seen almost every other day, a car flipped upside down. How is that happening? Okay. This is common, but mental illness, if you are depressed, or if you're bipolar and you have something deep going on and you're behind the wheel, what kind of driver will you be? If you have mismanaged, mental health, where you have negative thoughts flowing in, maybe a couple of positive thoughts, but they're mostly negative. What kind of driver are you going to be? Are you even going to understand how to drive? This is a serious conversation. People die every day on the road. But in Colorado, we got a problem. We have a problem. And I'm getting concerned. I'm concerned because we're a mile high. And we have an extremely high crime rate. We're also ranked number 4 in car thefts in the country. Okay. Why are people stealing cars? Oh, because they can't afford to buy a car. Why is that? Because it's too darn expensive to live here. Let's make it expensive to live in Colorado. We don't want these people coming in thinking they can be the next pioneer setting up shop. You know, we need to make sure that we keep the prices high and we keep the color low. Keep the prices high and keep the color low. Keep it slow moving. We need to keep those prices high so we can go to the sky. And while everybody is crying and singing, Lord, why? We need to keep those prices high. Keep the red line and lion. Keep the red lion like a roaring lion while the city calls and the echoes calls and the group calls all day long, y'all. They mad, y'all. Yay, oh, now that keep the prices high. Hee haw, ride them high in my Tonka truck, in my Audi, in my stuffiness, in my stuffiness. Keep those prices high and keep those niggers dry. Keep them out, I sigh. And don't let me see an interracial couple. Oh, heaven forbid they're hooking up with each other, Jan. We better pray to the good Lord that Timmy never does such a thing. Timmy never date a colored. Keep those prices high and keep them out and keep those windows dry. Make sure that nobody goes in those stores because they can't even afford to pay their taxes. Jed, time to do some new development work. Yep, we're going to invest about, I'd say, $20 million in this little division here. Should cut it. Should cut it. But keep those prices high. Keep them niggers dry. Keep them running out of time. Running out of time. So, yeah, that's bird there, yow, yow. And that's the best way to keep certain people out is if you make it so expensive to live. Like, why the hell are public colleges just as expensive for a student to pay out-of-state college tuition? What does that tell you? And what does it tell you when half of the homeless population works a part-time job? How do we start treating human life like this? Okay, How is it the dollar is worth $30? Okay, I'll give it 40. It means nothing when there's inflation. Your $100 is equal to a 40. No, okay, I'll say it's $50. So for every $100 you have, it's really $50 because everything is inflated. So if you can't get to work because your car done got jacked up on the raggedy road, that's one example. If you can't get the help you need to concentrate on your job because you can't get a mental health appointment for 4 months, that is a problem. Okay. When your child is being bused all across town to go to school and they need help with tutoring, but that's almost impossible because of the location they're being bused, that is an even scarier problem. So we have a lot of different problems, America, in our own backyard that we have not solved. While we're trying to solve other people's issues, we haven't even tackled and grappled with what we have. We have some very strong issues. Okay. So other ways, I think that the problem with our culture in some respects is the self-hatred. We have a staunchy, raunchy culture of people that do not care if you have a relationship, if you have a partner, they will still try to hook up with you. So if you have to depend on your neighbors in the community for support, but you have backstabbing people who are trying to hook up with your spouse, then you have, like, that puts a hole into your whole objective. Okay. Our culture, when it comes to relationships and how to deal with family and everything, is a mess. We have people focused on the wrong thing. You know, the wrong thing. It should be character-based. Building up your value system. But America is teaching people the quick way to get in a relationship, not know yourself, possibly have a baby, and kiss your dreams goodbye. Do you know what that's ultimately what it wants? When I say it, I'm talking about the system. The system wants your ideas to run dry. It doesn't want you to grow. The system doesn't want you to persevere. Okay, so this is why it is set up for little five-year-olds to dance to Nicki Minaj and to know her music. And older women, and this is another thing that baffled me. If you go on Pinterest, how they have like the little baby models. It's like, stop putting your little girl in grown woman clothes. Like, you're trying to make her into this grown woman, but like a miniature grown woman. That is too mature for her. All you're doing is opening up doors for her to be molested or raped. You, mother, are doing that. When you do that to your child, you're teaching her things that she should be learning when she's a teenager or an adult. You're teaching her that at 4 and 5. You're teaching her how to be sexual. She doesn't even know how to spell her name. That is another example of the decaying of our culture. It messes up relationships, it messes up marriages, it messes up family nucleus. What people have to decide is this what I want? Am I going to fall for this? Am I going to be like a follower like everyone else? Am I going to cheat on my spouse with some internet vixen or something that doesn't serve me any good? Am I going to cheat on my spouse or my, heck, it could be doing unethical things on your job. Am I going to cheat my job just to get clout, just to get 5 seconds of fame? So when our moral compass has been on a backward slope where TV is reprogramming us to understand what is normal and what isn't, when the radio and, you know, influencers lead the way on certain ways of thinking that are in direct conflict with your principles. You know, there are music, there is music and movies and things out that are in direct conflict with the principles of life. And they shouldn't even be out. They're terrible. These are serious conversations. Now, I am dead tired at this point. I know I need to be quiet. I just haven't recorded in a while, but the truth, y'all, you need to know that America needs to be rebuilt. It needs to be rebuilt, and it will be rebuilt, rather y'all like it or not. The systems that are currently governing America are not sustainable. The people who are in power and that have had power, that's going to change. Your power will be stripped and taken away from you because you misused your power. You abused it. And now the law of life says, enough is enough. Little Timmy, give me back my toy. Okay? So this is why, get over it, that your power will be gone. You're too busy not doing what's right for the whole world, and especially for the people right in front of you. Okay. Our hospitals are, you know, everyone, yes, we praise our physicians and nurses for how they handle COVID, but let's not forget how those same people, many of them, mistreated and continue to mistreat Black patients when they come into the hospital. Like, you are literally a brown penny. You mean absolutely no value. And you are treated as such. When no one wants to help you, or they blame you for your illness or whatever's going on, that's sadistic, first of all. Okay? But there are people that think like that. So, anyway, I pray for all the sisters, that Black women that really struggle in giving childbirth. I mean, this is real. We are dying at a higher rate. And some of you think it's because of our diet, or it's because of our weight, or something genetically inferior. But what you don't know is the reason why we're dying at the rate we are when giving birth is because of the hospital system and how they're taking care of us. It is the way the prenatal care is set up that is actually stifling and killing Black women. The reason being is because in the United States, there are less than 1% of Black doctors and physicians in general. But in other countries where there are Black women, they don't die at all giving childbirth. It is only happening in the United States because there are hardly any Black doctors. So what does that tell you? That means you're going into the hands of the lion's den of people that don't care or value your life. They will not give you the recommendation of the medicine that you need. They may not recommend the surgery that you need. They will ignore your calls. They will give you the runaround. They will ignore those spots on your lungs. Maybe they won't even tell you about them. They are more concerned about, okay, if you go in a nursing home, do I own your home? Do I have all of your assets? Okay, this is what we live in. And if you don't believe me, you better go ask a dog somewhere, because the dog will tell you the same thing I'm telling you. He'll just teleport the information. So I think that's, and then the educational system. So there's still major disparities continuing in the education system, where students, there are some classrooms that they don't even have any air conditioning. Okay, some classrooms that they don't even have good ventilation. And these are schools in wealthy neighborhoods, but they're old schools. Why aren't you guys investing in the school? Don't you have millions of dollars? Why aren't you doing it? Why isn't there a grant to help this? You know, and then you have, like, totally, I'm so afraid. Like, okay, I'll tell you what I do. I'm a math teacher, and I, just graduated from college, And like, I'm in my master's program. You know, I haven't worked with like any like a black kids, but I'm a little nervous. So I just want to like totally try to be their friend. Well, I don't know. I just thought that working at a high school would be super cool. Well, because we're kind of like close in age. So I feel like I can totally be their friend and like, you know, the kids will like totally relate to me. Yeah, well, I'm not very comfortable hanging around or like helping him. Yeah, I know he asked for help, but I'm not comfortable. Like, what if he starts liking me? And like, you know what they say? Like, those black boys are like, Daddy said the black boys are like super dangerous, and they're like totally like always trying to like look at like girls like me, and like I totally have to be careful. So like, yeah, if they do have a math question, they can totally look on YouTube. I'm not going to help them. Well, I can help them like from a distance. What about the little black girl? Like, you know, I have not worked with a lot of kids of color. Like, I did like a couple of camps and like symposiums, but it wasn't really like I was hanging out with them. Well, oh, so you guys are really looking for someone that, you know, is more like that, like more well-rounded. Well, that's just like totally not me. It's just not. And I think this whole conversation is unfair. I mean, like, my ancestors were, like, totally here first, you know, running the world, you know, doing what was right, law-abiding since citizens. And, like, these people here are, like, totally, like, violating my space, you know, totally always begging for things. And I'm just over it. Well, no, I'm not going to help that little black boy. Like, they scare me. Totally. Yeah, like, Daddy always told me to just, like, never be, like, alone with them. Because you know they're going to try to rape you or something. Well, I believe Daddy. Like, I believe everything Daddy tells me. Yeah, well, I've not been wrong. So, anyway, do you have anything else to say? I feel like you're harassing me. And thank you, everyone. I'm so done. I hope that this podcast served you well, because we are in a time where we can make a change, and a change will come. And I want to be a part of that change. Do you? Or do you want to be lost in the fog? Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Monique's Pet Whisper. Aru, aru.